So as John mentioned, we're starting a new series tonight called Giving Up, Losing Your Life to Find It. And some background on that is that a while back, we were kind of asking you what you felt like we should be focusing on in the coming year. And a lot of you said that you were really interested in focusing on what it means to live life in the Spirit. And along with that, when we did our covenant member renewals, we asked you which of the covenant commitments you wanted to focus on in the coming year, and several of you said you would like to focus on the covenant commitment of transformation. So I'm going to read that covenant commitment. It says, "We commit to the disciplined spiritual life, recognizing God as a God of life and newness. We will create space in our lives where God can speak and act in us, bringing greater freedom and love. Practicing these disciplines is part of helping each of us grow into maturity and out of childish ways of behaving. The hope is that our lives individually and collectively will look more and more like the life of our teacher, Jesus." So those things coupled together were really exciting to us. I want to focus on that too. I want to live a life characterized by transformation and life that's energized by the Holy Spirit. But it's also a really big responsibility to think through how to walk a community to grow in those areas, right? So, you know, what does it mean to live that kind of a life? What are the practical steps to move in that direction? What kind of obstacles and challenges might we expect as we move in those directions? How will we know when we're on the right track? So these next two series, the one leading up, this one, the current one leading up to Lent, and then through Lent, is our attempt to help walk us all in that direction together. Now, this current series leading up to Lent, we're going to be exploring some of the things that we feel like are important to surrender to God, big life areas that we want to sort of clear out areas in our lives, surrender them to God to prepare us then during Lent to get real practical about what does a day-to-day life in that direction look like. So we're trying to sort of give the Spirit of God free rein to inhabit our lives to support that kind of life. Now, we're using something called the Orin's posture to be focusing us. That's what this posture is. It's a prayer posture that you find a lot in old, if you look at art from the old catacombs, you see things like this a lot. So this posture of prayer, it's a posture of pleading, and it occurred to us that it also kind of looks like a posture of surrender. And so I want you to keep that in mind, keep that posture in mind, and I'm going to get back to that a little bit later. I really, as I've been preparing for this and praying about this, I feel like this series and the series during Lent is going to be really important for our community. So I want to encourage all of us to really sort of throw ourselves into it with our whole hearts. But before we do that, I want to check in with you guys and ask you to consider the question, as you've been hearing me describe what we're going to be focusing on, this transformation, this life in the Spirit, I wonder if there's little voices in you that are throwing up objections, like, oh, what does that mean? That's kind of scary. What internal objections and concerns and fears come up for you as we embark on this journey? I'm going to give you just like a few seconds to think about that. And what it means to think about that is to go in and go, whoa, what's been, you know, are there little fears or concerns or questions that have come up in me as Terry's been talking about that? So think about that for a minute. Did anybody notice anything? the real question is, does anybody notice anything they feel like sharing? You totally don't have to. But I'd be curious if somebody feels like they'd be willing to do that.
I guess for me, it's maybe the fear of asking what I should give up. I mean, yeah, there might be obvious stuff, but like, you know, God will push us.
Yeah. Yeah, so you have questions about what is that, what exactly are you?
Do I dare ask
them? Yeah. So we'll be focusing on four different things in the next four sermons, areas of surrender, and so you'll figure that out. I'll tell you what today is in a little bit, but any other questions or concerns or fears that come up when you think about moving towards the transformation and life in the Spirit? Okay. If you do notice things like that, fears, concerns, questions, little voices that are sort of characterized by, yeah, but, what I want you to do with those kinds of things as they come up is just to notice them and don't give them a ton of energy. So don't give them a ton of energy fighting with them or feeding them. Just let it be, okay? And I think that's the most effective way to deal with fears like that. So, the first area that we're going to be focusing on today is surrendering our thought life to God. That sort of made the most sense to us to start there because every change in our life, whether it's negative or positive, begins, it sort of germinates in our mind and grows from there, right? And so I'm going to start with a couple scriptures that are relevant to this. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And then 1 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So before we go any further, I'm going to pray. Lord, we're coming to you as a community hungry for lives that are offered up to you in ways that lead to the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. We recognize as we begin that this is war. We have an enemy who would love to discourage and disarm us. We recognize that everything worthwhile will be met by resistance and deception. So we pray that you'll help us to go to you for the weapons to fight effectively and gain ground for the beautiful kingdom that you have in mind for us. Help us to bring every thought captive so that you can work among us in our individual lives and in our community for the benefit of the world that you love. Amen. So before we talk about this particular area of surrender, I want to talk a little bit more generally about the idea of offering things up to God, surrender. You can't really surrender something that doesn't belong to you. And so the first thing I want to say is that your thoughts and these areas that we're going to be talking about surrendering to God are gifts from God that rightfully belong to you. You own your thoughts and you get to do with them whatever you want. That's a true thing. The reason we want to surrender them to God is not so we can passively sort of expect God to insert thoughts in our head. What we want to do is make ourselves available to his influence through our thought life. But we can choose to do that or not. It really is our choice. And it's a dignified thing. But the consequences of either doing that or not doing that mean something for you, and it also means something for the broader community. But I want to start with the fact that your thoughts really do belong to you, and you get to do with them whatever you please. The second thing I want to point out more generally is that there's a paradoxical kind of quality to this idea of surrendering things to God. So, and it's contained in the title of this series. In Matthew 10:39, Jesus says, "Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." So even though we're going to be focusing on the coming weeks of surrendering things, you really can expect to get something really beautiful in return for the things that you're offering up to God. So, to begin with, that Romans passage, when it talks about being transformed, that word transform is connected to the idea of metamorphosis. And metamorphosis, you all know, is what happens when a caterpillar sort of goes into a cocoon or a chrysalis. It sort of undergoes something that looks like death, and it emerges in a new form. And that's exciting, but it's really dramatic language, right? So we're not talking about something like tweaking your thoughts. We're talking about something a whole lot more radical and beautiful than that. And then when you connect that idea of metamorphosis, you connect it to the warfare language in the Corinthians verse. This is really important stuff. The Bible characterizes this as really, really important stuff. And so in order to talk about what this is supposed to look like, I want to start with a couple diagrams. This is from Greg Boyd's material. How God designed to transform us and the world through us sort of looks like this. So how it's supposed to work is the Lord influence comes to us through his spirit, connects with our spirit. He influences us influences our soul, which is just another way of saying our thoughts, our feelings, sort of the stuff that makes me, me, is my soul. So God's spirit connecting with my spirit influences my soul, which influences my body and the kinds of behaviors that come out of it, the kinds of choices that I make. That in turn affects the world around me, and by those means, Satan is defeated and the world is transformed. That's what it's supposed to look like. But what it looks like a lot of times instead is upside down. So Satan influences the world around us, and he has a lot of, you know, subtle and not so subtle ways of doing that. So he sort of infects the world, influences the world. That starts to affect our bodies. It affects our thinking, our emotions, our choices. It affects our spirit. It sort of mucks up everything that God has created. And by that means, we are sort of, it's hard for us to even hear God. And so part of this idea of surrendering our thought life to God is flipping this back in its rightful order so that we can be influenced more and more, our thought life, by the Lord, and by those means do what he intends us to do in the world. And that's a beautiful thing, but it's also really difficult. And so we want to be thinking about, how does that work? How do we begin to pay attention and allow God access to our thought life and influence in those areas so that we can be doing, so we can be up to the things that he wants us to be up to? And a big part of how I think this works is by becoming more mindful. Now, mindfulness is a trigger word for a lot of Christians, right? You connect it to sort of Eastern philosophy and all of the Buddhism and all that kind of stuff. But really all that word means is to pay attention in a particular way. And the way we want to be paying attention is on purpose. So we want to have an intention about the things that we're paying attention to. We want to do it in the moment because that's really the only place we can live. You know, a lot of people kind of live way off in the past or way off in the future. They sort of miss out on the present moment. So how we pay attention is in the moment, and we do it non-judgmentally. And the reason we do it non-judgmentally goes back to what I said I want you to do with those objections that come up. It's not because I think it's those things are good or evil or anything like that. It's just more effective to not judge them. Okay? So when we're paying attention to the things we're paying attention to, we want to avoid sort of the urge or the temptation to be real judgmental with ourselves. This is hard work, and the best, most effective way of paying attention is to do it without judging ourselves a whole lot. Now, when I knew I was going to be coming with this, I thought, well, I better start paying attention myself and sort of try some of these things out myself. And what I noticed as I sort of raised my level of attention was that I spend a lot of time checking out and kind of numbing out. How many feel like you do that? There's really good reasons for that. We always have a ton of information that's coming at us really fast, and we need to sort of rest from that. And our sort of our knee-jerk response is to just numb out, check out. So that's a really understandable impulse, but that's the opposite of what I want us to do. I want us to be able to rest from information. I want us to be able to have some peace. But things like checking out in front of the TV, checking out in social media, checking out on games on our phone, those are all really understandable things, but we want to be way more intentional in that. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things, by the way. Go ahead and do those. But I want you to be attentive to the effect that it has on you. Okay? So, we're going to be starting a practice to, first of all, raise our level of awareness of what's influencing our thoughts right now in the place that we're at. So that's the first thing, is just to become more aware. What are the things that are influencing us, and what are the thoughts themselves? Like, what's spending a lot of time in our head? A lot of times we have very little awareness of that. It's just sort of happening to us. So we want to raise our level of awareness effectively so that we can offer up our thoughts to God and invite Him to have more influence over those things. How many people feel like you've tried to do that before and it wasn't very effective? Nobody? Wait, that was sort of a two-part question. How many people have tried that before, tried to be more aware? And how many people feel like it wasn't very effective? Yeah. In the beginning, when I asked you the objections that come up for you, that's the biggest objection that came up for me. It was like, I've done that before, I've tried that before, and nothing really works. I always go back to the way I was before. So I want you to just notice that. And this isn't something that you can sort of do once and then have it be done. It's something that you come back to over and over and over again. So what I want to spend the rest of the time tonight on is practical ways that we can begin to move in these directions. Now, I'm going to throw a bunch of stuff at you, okay? I'm going to throw a bunch of ideas. I don't want you to get anxious about having to do all of these things. I'm throwing out a bunch of ideas. I have a handout that I'm going to give you, and I'll post it on the Facebook page. But I want you to pay attention to what seems most fruitful for you to start, where it seems fruitful for you to start. And some of these are really sort of simple and easy. Some of these are a little bit more challenging, will require more of you. But before I start, I just want to say, don't worry about the whole thing. These are ideas. I want you to start trying things on and noticing what moves you in the direction of God having more influence over your thought life. So, here's some things you could consider. Music. How many people feel like you're really influenced by the music that you hear? I am hugely affected by music in both directions. if there's music on, it can either affect me in a really negative direction or a really positive direction. And I don't really use that very effectively. Like, I just sort of am very haphazard about it. But in this last week, I've tried to pay more attention to that. The reason I have Loud Harp up there is because that's one of the things that I reliably, when I put that music on, I reliably enter into a really worshipful state of mind. And so that's kind of a handy little thing to know about myself. And if I choose to listen to that kind of music, I can reliably be sort of carried into a place where I'm worshiping and where God sort of has some influence in my life. So that's pretty handy, and you might start to play with that too. Silence is sort of the opposite of that in terms of if you cultivate intentional times where there's no noise, where there's no sound, that can be a place where you learn to identify what the voice of God sounds like, where you can begin to open yourself up to his influence. And in this world, that can be really challenging. Like, how many of you are in environments where there's pretty much always something, some kind of sound in the background? Some of us have to be really, really intentional about that. But that can be a really effective way to cultivate times of silence, to really listen for and begin to learn the voice of God. How many people know what morning pages are? Okay, so there's this woman named Julia Cameron. She wrote a book called The Artist's Way. And one of the things she has people do to sort of cultivate creativity is she has you sit down every morning and write longhand, not on a computer, write out 3 pages. Doesn't matter what it's about, doesn't matter if it's just repetitious or bad grammar, doesn't have to be artistic, even though this is a book on creativity. In fact, she doesn't want you to even look back at it most of the time. It's just sort of a just dumping 3 pages of whatever comes to mind out on the page. That sounded to me kind of silly and pointless. And I've always been a person who I've tried many, many times in my life to start journals, and I get like 10 pages in and I forget about it. But I thought, I'm going to give this a try. It was completely unrelated to this series, but about a month ago I started doing this. And what I learned is that just the practice of showing up every morning and just writing, I started to notice patterns. I started to notice what my concerns were, what's on my mind, what I care about, the direction I want to go. Sometimes it's prayers, sometimes it's just kind of complaining, sometimes it's I'm writing about my fear. It doesn't matter. But what I noticed is that it helped me to show up for my life and to be more intentional. So I wanted to throw that out there because I've been doing it for a month now, and it's kind of amazing how much more awake to my life I've been. So I thought I'd throw that out there as an idea for you. Alarms and prompts. One of the things we can do as we begin to sort of practice noticing what's on our minds and turning our attention towards God, offering up our thoughts to him, is we can sort of set prompts in our phone. We can carry around little objects. A few weeks ago, we made these little beaded things. For some people, just having something in their pocket that they can touch every once in a while reminds them of what they want to be doing. So setting little prompts, alarms, things like that to just really quickly, this doesn't have to take a lot of time, just really check in, what was just going through my mind and how can I turn my attention to God and offer him my thought life. Daily examine, I'm not going to go into that much, but it's basically a practice in the evening where you focus on gratitude, you pray through parts of your day, look forward to the next day. We'll talk more about that later, probably during Lent, but you can look this up and there'll be a resource on this sheet to point you to if that's something that you want to try. That can be really effective too. Scripture memorization. How many people have ever done that? It's old, it's not very sexy, but there's a reason that's been around for centuries, is that there's something about the process of memorizing scripture that feels important to you, that feels like something you want to do. So I put it in there because, hey, there's a reason it's been around forever. prayer apps. How many people have this prayer app on your phone? It's basically it's the Book of Common Prayer that's been reworked by Shane Claiborne's group. just really quick prayers that you can pray. And the kind of the benefit of this is that it's directing your attention and you're doing it as a part of the larger body around the world. There's a lot of people using these apps to pray through the Book of Common Prayer and to be thinking about these things together. And the last one I'll talk to you about is Palms Prayer. And this brings us back to that Orin's posture. So Palms Prayer is something where you sort of start out, and again, this doesn't have to take a ton of time, but you start out just noticing where your thoughts are, and you put your palms face down. And you use that body posture of having your palms down to release to God anything that's going through your heart or your mind that's inconsistent with His heart for you. So you just let it go. You give it to God, you release it, and sort of the body posture of having your palms down supports that intention. Just spend a few moments just sort of releasing those things to God. And then you put your palms up. And that's that Orin's posture. You put your hands up, and that's a receptive posture, a surrendering posture to say, Lord, what do you want there instead? And you just sit and allow God to influence you. And that can just be a really quick thing. But I found that that's a really, really rich practice too. Now, again, I want to stress, you know, I'm going to give you guys these handouts. You take them home. I don't want you to worry about trying to implement all this stuff at once. But before I do that, I want to say, as I've been talking about these things, does anybody have any ideas of things that have helped them with this practice of sort of making your thought life available to God?
Newsfast.
Okay. So Newsfast. Yeah. Anything else? I'm gonna post this online on our Facebook page, and you can use that space to say, hey, here's something that's been effective for me or helpful for me in this area. The last thing I want to say before John comes up is that one of the most fruitful ways of approaching this is to know in your heart that you get to begin again anytime you want to. So we're all going to sort of have sort of starts and stops and times when this is really moving in a positive directions, and times where you kind of forget about it, or you're messing up, or you, whatever. One of the best and most beautiful disciplines is showing up and beginning again. So I want to encourage you as you sort of take steps in this direction, to allow God space in your mind and heart so that He can begin to transform you, and as a function of that, transform the world around us. This is exciting and so important, you guys, that you get to begin again. And in Lamentations it says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's a beautiful promise from God. And so I want to encourage you to start trying some things, start moving this direction, and begin again and again and again.
Okay, Peter, you want to bring up that next slide? If you all want to stand, we're going to go through a liturgy to help us remember this. So I'm going to speak the unbolded parts, and you can speak the bolded parts. Lord, we offer ourselves up to you today for the sake of transformation and growth, for the sake of our own good and the good of your world. Help us to become more aware of your presence and more open to your influence. Help us to begin again and again in each moment and refuse to settle for less than your best. Thank you that you care about this work of transformation and that you've promised to complete it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Go now in the power of the Spirit, taking every thought captive and being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Amen.